This is As of Late Podcast. It's your boy Titus. This is episode 103, and we got So GB in the building. What's going on, dog?
What's going on? What's going on with it?
Good to see you, man. Good to see you. How you feeling, man? Thank you for coming.
Yeah, appreciate you for inviting me.
How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good. Feeling good.
Yeah, I'm
feeling good.
Feeling great.
Yeah, can't complain. Can't complain at all.
On this fine day, we daggone. I didn't know if we were gonna be able to make it, man. The snow kind of scared me a little bit.
We was gonna make it. Yeah, I ain't gonna flex you like that. I ain't doing that. So,
not you flexing, the snow flexing, daggone. I was like, man, I daggone woke up, looked at my backyard. It was daggone snow. I was like, man, don't tell me this junk is like how it was last week.
Yeah, last week. I mean, it was straight the first time it snowed. It was like sluggish. I mean, not sluggish, but you know, it was like real wet. You know what I'm saying? Type shit. Then that next day, it just came up piling, so.
Yeah. We getting a little bit more than we usually get, daggone. About this time last year, it was still daggone hot, and daggone, I had a short sleeve on.
Yeah.
This bipolar weather, man, I don't know what to do now.
Nah, in fact, I thought it was going to be worse last night, the way they was making the scene, but it didn't really do too much damage, really.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I'm good about that, because I was definitely been wanting to do this interview, and definitely, shoot the shit with you, man. But let's get to the basis of it, man, because like I know of you through your music, and a lot of people of course know of you through your music. Let's get to know really who you are in So GB, like born and raised here in Charlotte. What side of Charlotte?
East side, Plaza Road, Hampshire Hills, really. That's the neighborhood. But pretty much Plaza Road though.
That's what's Plaza up. Road, yeah. That's what's up. What high school did you go to?
I went to Rocky River.
Rocky River?
Yeah,
I'm old. Yeah.
Went to Rocky River. I was going to go to East Mech, but I ain't go to East Mech. But I went to Rocky River. And then it was a new school back then, too. Now I think about it. Yeah, I went there all 4 years.
I know I'm old now because it was a time where Rocky River people would be going to my school, which is, I went to Independence.
Oh, yeah, Independence.
And at that time, like, When I was finishing up, like Rocky River was just getting built up.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yo, man, what is this they building over there?
Yeah.
And y'all end up having a decent little football squad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Y'all used to battle it out with Independence and Mallet Creek. Because my nephew went to Mallet Creek. Mallet Creek, they created them kind of around the same time as Rocky River, because Mallet Creek people used to go to like either Vance or, you know, East Mech. And then they made Mallet Creek and got all their talent.
Yeah, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Mallet Creek nice as fuck.
Yeah, Mallet Creek's a nice school. But y'all were battling it out. I actually went to a game, a playoff game out there because of my nephew.
Okay. And, yeah, I only been to like one Mallet Creek game. And then I just kind of branched off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Charlotte guy all together, you know, East Side Plaza to be exact. But a Charlottetilian at heart. How being somebody that is a Charlottetilian, you know, looking at where Charlotte is now as compared to how you were as a kid, like the growth, can't stand the growth. Like, what are some pros and cons being somebody seeing the rise of Charlotte House continue to build like how it's built?
I definitely like the growth. The growth is definitely different than how it was back then. Mm-hmm. But it's like back then, it's kind of like, you talking about as far as like the music scene or
above? Well, music scene, I should have specified that, but in general, people wise and, you know, business wise and music wise, because it's definitely different music wise from how it was back and how we grew up, like, you know, like S Dub and Betty Grind, and like, you see, it's a lot more of an open market to where I feel like
back in the day, like, as far as people, it was much easier to like link around and do stuff without like no worries, or you know what I'm saying? Like like back in the day, you know, everybody used to meet downtown and shit like that for like the transit and shit like that. Mm-hmm. So like now it's like it's not happening like that now. Like as far as people coming together, it's not doing how it was last or before.
Yeah, a lot less house parties, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the house parties is dead now. Ain't no more house parties.
That was an era, wasn't it?
Yeah, damn sure it was an era.
Mm-hmm.
I threw a few house parties myself, so it was definitely an era.
Yeah, we made that a daggone era, man. The late 2000s going into the mid, like, 2010s and stuff like that. Yeah. We used to have a lot of house parties, man. That ended up being like a market where like people like would rent out houses just for house parties. Mm. Like, yeah, Yai House, we had Strange House. And man, like that's a lost art that I feel like people, everything's full circle though. So I feel like it'll bring itself back sooner or later, maybe.
I just feel like the only reason why it went so smooth is because we was like kids.
Mm-hmm. You know, that may have something to do with it as well.
And then like, you know, when niggas got older, it kind of transitioned to like, you know, the Breakfast Club, 935, you know what I'm saying? And shit like that.
Did you ever go to Alley Cat? Do you remember that?
Alley Cat.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I'm 25. Yeah.
Excuse my age, folks. Excuse my age. This man.
I ain't never heard of that though. Mm-hmm. It was a club?
Yeah, that's an era too. That's an era.
Yeah, I ain't never heard of Alley Cat.
Do you remember? Do you know where Bar Charlotte?
Yeah, I know Bar Charlotte.
It used to be right beside Bar Charlotte. Bar Charlotte still there? Bar Charlotte?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Bar Charlotte used to be a club for people listening that's outside of Charlotte. That a lot of different people used to go to. It was like in the middle where it's like, I remember my first club was a club called Malibu. It was an all black club off of like North Tryon, just a straight up hood club. It was like, we went there like 15, 16. But Bar Charlotte used to have that same kind of night where niggas used to let teenagers in there on like Wednesday nights, and niggas would be thinking like we were in like,
nah, that's crazy.
Like the BMF era. So we used to think we were so fucking like on some like king shit.
Yeah,
we
type
were fucking
shit.
16, 17.
And now the first club I ever went to, like, and I ain't really never say nothing about this either. The first club I ever went to was Club Crystal.
Crystals?
Yeah.
That's a good first club to go to,
that's
boy.
The first club I ever been to. And I had like a fake ID for that.
Yeah.
I got a cousin that, he don't look like me, but, you know, security ain't really looking at no ID, so if you look at it real quick, I could pass by. So that was the first club I actually went to.
Mm-hmm.
Crystals, yeah.
Me and my brother would do that a lot because I got an older brother that's years away from my age, but we look, a lot of people used to think we were twins. Like whenever we'd be in the same room because we got the beards, and like I used to have a low cut up until like, well, I've had phases because in high school I had dreads, and then after high school I cut it, I had Caesar. And then in my 20s, early 20s, I had the baldy like Stone Cold, straight black rattlesnake out here. But then I got this phase now. But we both had baldies at one time. And so niggas would just, whenever we would get IDs, we just switch up and catch.
Yeah, that's how my little brother, I got a little brother that look like exactly like me. Like everybody will tell you that, like if you see him, just like a younger version of me though, not like a younger version.
Do you got any other siblings aside from him?
I got a sister. Yeah, and that's pretty much it. I got a youngest brother. He the youngest. My sister the middle child, and I'm the oldest.
Okay, you the oldest sibling of the bunch.
Yeah.
Where does that lie in your mental when it comes to like responsibility? Do you feel like there's some kind of barrier over you being like the older child, like a responsibility sense of like I gotta set the trend for the siblings to look at?
Oh, yeah, no, that's facts. I mean, yeah, pretty much, because if anything go wrong or if they need help or anything, they're going to call me. Mm. Like, it don't matter. It honestly don't matter what it is. Like, they're just going to call, you feel me? Especially my brother. Anytime it's a problem with him, and my sister too, though. Any problem it is, they're going to call me. Or if they need some advice or anything like that, they're gonna call me before they, you know, talk to my moms or some shit like that. But yeah, they're going to call me and see what's up first. And then that's when they're going to talk to everybody else.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like that with my nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
Because me, myself, excuse me, I'm the youngest child in my family. I'm the youngest. And so I didn't deal with that. Oh, I was the one calling my brother or, like, my older sister. Like, they watched me and, like, because with my mother, she was around, of course, but, you know, being a single parent, she worked a lot.
Yeah.
And so we all, you know, the older siblings would look out for each other. And so they were the ones like you. Like, I would call them, like, yo, man, what's going on? Or like, yo, can you pick me up? But now that I'm older, my nieces and nephews are like teenage years, to where I see that with them. Like they be calling me before like they call their parents, and they talk to me like we have a relationship, I guess, because we're so close in age. Like we ain't close in age, but it's like I'm old enough to remember some stuff, but young enough to still know what TikTok is about and know what they talking about. Nah, and so, like, man, I think it's that camaraderie of seeing somebody that's still knowing the music that they listen to and knowing the music of the past as well. And I feel like that's really just what keeps people relevant anyway when it comes to music. Like, even with cats like Snoop Dogg, that's one reason why he's still respected to this day, because he gives opportunity to the younger people. He's an OG in the sense of looking back at the past and respecting it and giving game to the young dudes and not trying to, like, belittle them. Going into that, who are some people that you yourself can consider, like, maybe, like, did you have that? Did you have OGs to where, like, people taught you the game when it comes to, like, music sense or in life in general, that you still, like, you pass that on to, like, your little brother, or you that on to other artists when you're in the studio sense, like, yo, bro, don't tap in like that. Don't punch in like that. Like, homie taught me how to do it like this, and it worked out for me. Like, who are some of those people for you?
Well, on, as far as just, like, regular, like, people-wise, I say probably my, you know, like, my pops, my granddad, you know, people like them, they kind of showed me, in a sense of way, like, how to move, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't be too loud, you know what I'm saying? Just be real low-key.
Yeah, stay out the way.
You know what I'm saying? Not too flashy, but still make sure you can handle, you know what I'm saying? Still make sure you can handle yours type shit on the music tip.
Yeah.
Artist-wise, that, like, that, like, helped me, or, like, what you mean by that?
Just in the sense of, like almost like that, like how you explain with your pops, but just, like, older cats, like an old hat, may not have had that, that's the gripe for them a lot, not just Charlotte cats, but a lot of younger cats. They don't get that younger dude that's been in the game for a minute that just sit him down and be like, yo, oh, young G, you moving wrong.
Yeah.
Like, this is how you have to do your shows. Like, you need to get you a real promoter, because that promoter is trash. He's always going to be doing some jive stuff, like, that make you, like, just in the city sense, maybe just, like, look out for you. Like, these are the clubs that's really going to, like, look out for you. Like,
okay,
try Snug out. Try this out. Try that out. You know what I'm saying? Have you gotten that? Because that's, like I said, a gripe. A lot of young artists do not get that.
I mean, I've gotten advice saying, like, all right, nah, this club, you know, this club lit, you shouldn't do this, they don't really support, you know what I'm saying? I done got a few that from different artists, but as far as, like, someone in my ear constant telling me, like, nah, you gotta do this and that, nah, I ain't really
not big enough to the sense they get a mention. It's just been different people,
Different people, yeah. But majority of them is, you know, like, artists that's in the city that rock with me, and that kind of know how shit set for me, well, as far as the type of vibe I bring, you know, like, they won't want to, like, really put me in the wrong position, if that makes sense.
Which shows the value of who you are as a man outside of music.
Because
a lot of people would just get you to the wolves.
Right.
You know, like, how I know the music industry can be very dog eat dog, especially in a city that's still, yes, we have, like, a mainstream artist where we finally got that off our back. Cause I feel like when I and like DaBaby is, like, around my age,
yeah.
And so for us, I feel like the generation before us was very like, cause everybody wanted to be that first nigga to break out.
Yeah. I mean, you had a few people. I had a few people. I pay attention to, like, a lot of people in the city too, as far as rappers. So it was only, like, one person from my neighborhood. I don't know if you remember his name, like, Young Nut.
Yeah, Young Nut.
Yeah,
Young Nut. Youngin 223 now. I was going to ask you if you knew him.
Yeah.
We didn't even get into the Hampshire Hills yet.
Man from the same hood, so but he did the 106 in part, the freestyle joint.
Shout out to Youngin 223. I interviewed him last year.
Yeah, so, I mean, shit, by me looking at that, I figured, shit, I'm thinking, bro, gonna, you know.
It's on and popping.
Yeah, you feel me? But, and then, like, looking at... who else used to?
I didn't know you if you were young enough to. I didn't know if you were old enough to remember Young Nut, because
I watch everything.
I was gonna bring that up. I was like, yeah, I wonder if he knows. Like,
I know, the family too. His brother and all them. So I know all them.
That's how
pops,
I know.
You feel me? Yeah.
Same with me and you and my brother. That's how I got to know you in the sense of, like, listening more to your music because of my brother.
Yeah,
because my brother seen you and was like, "Yo, I know this dude's pops, man."
Yeah, it's crazy.
And that's what made me pay even more attention to you, because it's just a small circle like that, and you want to root for the people that, you know, like I told you before the interview started, you want to root for the people that is doing stuff in the right way consistently. Like when I'm looking at something, if I'm a label, and no disrespect to people that's not doing it the right way, you know, like, because it takes beginning stages. Like me and Alice Slugger talked about this the last interview. It's nothing wrong with jumping out there, because jumping out there in the fire, you figure out how to get burned, and you figure out like, oh man, like, okay, I can't move this way with music. Let me set it up more and be more like calculated. But when it comes to somebody who's setting it up right and calculated and in your lane, like I said, you got that remedy. Yeah. And so you want to root for the people in your home team that's really doing it the right way.
No, facts. The crazy thing about it is, like, before, like, the style of rap that I do now, I didn't used to rap like this. I used to rap on some, like...
Rap like a machine gun? Like...
Nah, not like that. More like on some like...
Turn My Swag On?
ASAP. Nah, like some ASAP, Joey Badass type shit.
Okay. I can see that, though.
I was really on that type shit. Mm-hmm. And then, like, back in the day, I used to do shows with Samir, Family Matters. Mm-hmm. He used to throw, like, little shows or whatever at the neighborhood theater.
Yeah.
And I just see the crowd reaction from it. And I'm like, nah, that's not what I want. Like, you feel me? It's cool, but it's like... The type of crowd that, well, back then it wasn't really fitting the type of music I was making. So I'm like, you know what? I don't really like the response from it.
I feel like you still do that, though.
In a way. I shifted, you know, I made it work as if, like, putting both of it together. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
You merged it perfectly.
Basically, you know, that's basically what I did. Because if niggas really be listening, I really be saying some shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, you got to really just tune in order to, like, understand it, you know? And then... When you do listen, you're going to see, like, I actually be, like, doing what I be, you know what I'm saying, saying in my raps and shit. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know who you should, if you haven't collabed with yet, that I had the same talk with him, because he was talking about, like, how he was giving people that lyrical line, and then people wasn't biting. So what he did is get into a lane to where he's still giving people game, but... It may go over their head if they're not listening right, because of the beat pattern and the BPM that he's rapping on now is on Ghost, like Southside Ghost. You know Southside Ghost?
No, I never heard of Southside Ghost.
Southside Ghost is another Charlotte local artist that's really dope, that I feel like you reminded me of him in that sense of like how you started in one way and then shifted to a lane to where it's still you. But you mastered that lane and merged what you were doing previously.
Yeah.
Because he was talking about that, how in the beginning stages, he went out and people wasn't really biting it. Because he was giving people that lyrical shit.
Yeah.
But the time frame that we're in now, it's all about the beat pattern and what you're rapping on. Yeah. And then if you're rapping on something that's dope, it's really how you choosing your beats, really.
Yeah.
Like, if you got a good musical ear, you're going to know what to rap on. You're going to know what people are listening to. And then... They'll actually listen to what you're saying lyrically if you're rapping on something dope.
Right.
And so
it's pretty much like with me, it's pretty much like kind of like the metaphors for me, like, or similes. It's kind of like for a song for me to make, depending on like what topic, like if I get a topic thrown at me or based off how the beat is, then I try to like, whoever I'm in the studio with, I try to see what vibe they see. And then if it's the vibe I see, then I go off that.
Mm.
You know, that's pretty much how I go about it. Unless it's like one of them days where I'm just feeling it and I just go in and I just, you know, pick my own vibe. But I try to have it like real structured to where it's not like no bullshit ass song. Like, you feel me? Or just waste the beat. You feel me? Because I done did that a lot of times too. Like, going there freestyling, just wasting the beat.
So you don't do that anymore?
I still freestyle. You know, if I it depends on how I feel. Like, if I'm in the studio or the type of energy that's in the session. But, shit, the last time I actually went to the studio, yeah, I freestyled. I had a 4-hour session. I think it was on my birthday, I think. But I had a 4-hour session, and like the last two songs I freestyled and shit. Yeah, and it turned out well. I mean, people that was in there, they liked it. So
So you balance it out.
Yeah, I balance it out. It really depends on the energy, though. How I'm feeling.
The feeling, the vibe.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Who are some producers that you mess with
in Charlotte
that caught your attention?
Mainstream, we're talking about in Charlotte.
In Charlotte.
Oh, Charlotte. Shit, it's a lot, bro. First, my cousin, Jake Thurman on the track. Darius Jamal, Grove Side, Lux, Treesap, who else? I know I forget somebody else. Sleazy in Greensboro.
Okay. Shout out to Sleazy. I asked that because what I was saying about, like I was saying about you and South, how y'all changed the BPMs you guys are rapping on, you're still talking about something.
Yeah.
But one thing that's key is, like I said, having that ear on what to rap on.
Right.
Like, that was one of my biggest gripes growing up with, and I love them to death, with like Cole. Yeah. With like Cole and like Fabulous. Like, yeah. I used to be like, these niggas is mad lyrical, but I hate the beats they're rapping on. Yeah. As opposed to like a Rick Ross, who I feel like has a beautiful music ear. He knows exactly what pocket to rap on that beat. And that's an art, man. That's an art to really listen to a beat and know, like, I'm going to sound good on this.
Right.
And I asked that with your producer because you know how to pick the right beats. Yeah. Like, you on been doing this for a minute now to where you know I'm a sound good on this. Yeah. My flow's going to sound dope on this.
Yeah. Recently, like, kind of like, depending, like, the past, what, year and a half, I say Darius, Jamal, and Treesap, they kind of brought the energy back for me. I used to record at Treesap crib. Rest in peace, my brother, John Doe and shit. It used to be me,
rest
him.
Rest in peace of John Doe.
Fendi. He used to be in his crib recording or whatever. He had a studio in his crib. And it, like, I just see him, you know, make a beat from scratch. And it's basically like the type of beats I've been wanting, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I kind of locked in with them two. And that's really how that kind of brought, you know, my energy back as far as like how I rap now and how I mix the words up, you know what I'm saying? Just do different shit. So yeah,
that's all it takes sometimes, is just being in the room with other cats where motivation gets that spark going, spark flowing to where, and vice versa, you know, like I've been in rooms where with producers that are here, artists for the first time. And I'm probably sure, like, the producers that you mess with are like this as well, where they hear your flow pattern and be like, oh, okay, I like him rapping on my stuff like that. I'm going to start catering beats around this guy.
Right.
And then that's when you get the emails like, yo, bro, I think you'll sound good on this. I think you'll sound good on that.
Right.
And so teamwork make the dream work, you know? Like, you're pushing stuff from that producer and, like, your lyrics is on his stuff to where you guys can build up together. And that's really how these people continue to blow. Because, like, if you look at all the people that I look that are doing their thing musically, even from, like well, my generation, it would be like Wiz. Like, he still messes with the Chevys. He still messes with the only person I would say that I don't see in his camp as consistent as I did back in the day was, like, Johnny Giuliano.
Oh, yeah.
But he still messes
I
with
heard
the,
that name in a minute.
Like, the Sledrins. You know what I'm saying? Like, these people that... Were Cardo, you know, Cardo got wings.
Yeah, Cardo got wings.
He got him a bass in the beginning when he was in Pittsburgh, and these guys just continued to build that foundation, that sound for him.
Yeah, I know Cardo got wings. He'd be more with like Currency now, I feel like.
He'd be all over the place now. I would say he's his biggest producer out of that camp that went off to do separate things. Like, I hear him with a lot of stuff with like Currency and Larry June. Like, he still be on that kind of chill vibe, though. He still be doing this thing. But I say that to say, that was a producer and an artist, like how you guys are doing now. It starts here. Like, it starts building that foundation to where it's like, when you continue to build, you guys have created a sound to where it's like, y'all just destroying stuff.
Yeah.
And fans take heed to that. And so that's dope to have that foundation at the start. So when you blow, like, you guys already, like, it's a solid team. Teamwork making a dream work.
That's all it be. Niggas just need a team.
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be the hard part, really. Try to get everybody on the same page. Because, like, I feel like once you get a team and everybody on the same page, meaning, like you kind of like the... I ain't going to say... Well, I'm going to say it. Like, you kind of like the lottery ticket for everybody. You just putting them in position. If that makes sense?
Yeah.
A lot of people may, like... It'd be, like, ego problems. You know what I'm saying? People don't like to be, like... short-ended or feel like you bigger than them and shit like that.
Everybody want to be the captain.
Yeah, you feel me? Don't nobody really want to rock out all the way until, like, we all really eating in a way to where it's not even like that mentally, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that really be the hard part of the music shit. I feel like that's probably, like, one of the hardest parts, really.
Yeah.
Try to get them to, like, believe, like, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like it's... I feel like it'll be a lot easier in today's world as opposed to previous times, especially like after watching like that Forest Hill Drive's J. Cole documentary, to where it's like he got his homies that's like over like his tours, and like it's just like his, one of his homies was like, man, like I used to grow up thinking like, why not me? Like, man, like, why don't I got that talent to rap? And he was like, cats like Cole, man, just show me, like, it's plenty of jobs in the music industry. Like, I don't have to be the main guy. Like, I can be the guy that's helping the main guy. And so I think with this generation, like, when you got, like, the Cole Bennett's and, like, the people that are highlighted more behind the scenes, it shows kids that's like, I don't have to just be that main guy. Because I feel like with the rap industry, you got so many people trying to be the main guy because, like, they feel like that's all they can do. Right. And then you got ego when, like, you, somebody like yourself is coming up and somebody may be thinking the whole time, like, dang, I wanted to be the main guy.
Right. Nah, that's all it be. Like, I don't understand it. I mean, as far as myself, it don't really matter to me as long as, like, really as long as the bread come in, really, because that's really the only thing that matter when it
What's
comes
more important?
To, yeah, so it's like, I don't really have them problems with them myself, so I get it as far as why I get it. Well, I take that back. I understand why people feel like that because they be wanting to be in the, you know, in the front or the light.
Yeah.
But then sometimes when they get in that light, they can't really contain it. You know what I'm saying? Like they can't really handle it.
It's not built for everybody. Pressure,
you know what I'm saying? So that's really how it be. But a lot of people that be behind the scenes don't really be the main people that's eating though.
Oh yeah.
Like, you feel me?
Yeah.
Not even the artist. The artist is kind of like the picture for, you know what I'm saying? It's like the image, yeah. But when it comes like that check rolling in, it's really the people behind the scenes that's really eating.
Yeah. That's where I start studying that. I start studying that and looking at stuff like that and being, because for me, I want my finger in all the pies. Like, and I'm when I say that in the sense of like teamwork, if I know I can't be the main dude, but I know I specialize in video work and I know I specialize in like talking, then let me be in the behind the scenes setting up the touring or dealing with the merch, or like find your passion, find your talent and work with that and build yourself in the team in that sense. You know, it's just like basketball. As you start getting older and like in the league, and you realize, yeah, in high school you were the man, but everybody's the man in the NBA.
Yeah.
And so you realize in NBA what role players are. Like, this dude comes in for the three. This dude comes in. Tony Allen comes in just for lockdown defense.
Right. It kind of humbles you a little bit.
It humbles you, but it shows you how to really play a role and still be great, still be a part of a winning organization. Yeah. And so I feel like once people realize that in the music scene or any scene, like any field, whether you're doing starting a podcast or, you know, whatever you're doing, like building anything, like it's going to take a CEO and it's gonna take a COO, you know, like it's gonna take a founder, you know. It's just
different roles. You just gotta play that role right, really.
Yeah,
that's all it be.
Just gotta know the role you gotta play. You talked about him briefly a little bit, and I was gonna talk about him closer towards the end, but you reminded me of it. Talk about the importance of, because that's another person that I saw that you collab with early on was John Doe.
Yeah,
and so talk about how, I am a guy to talk in that sense because I know it was a major loss.
Yeah.
But for me, it was really in the sense for you, I reached out to you and was like, sorry for your loss, because I knew how important that dude was to you.
Yeah.
And I know how you guys had such a great chemistry collabing.
Right.
And how y'all were in the mind state of like, nigga, we all gonna do this. Like, me and you were taking this thing over.
Yeah.
And so I seen how the people was looking like, we gotta ride for you now. Like, we gotta put it on. Did you feel that pressure in the sense of like, yo, I gotta put this on my back?
I still feel that, like, still to this day, based off, you know, I told you, you know, off the mic about the tour and shit like that. I honestly still feel like that, you know. That whole shit with him, I mean, that shit's so crazy because it's like,
it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it really did come out of nowhere. And then, like, people don't know, like, that night, that weekend, it was my birthday. My birthday was on the 10th of December. So, I think he passed, the 12th or the 13th? It was on the 13th at, like 12 something. But, like, hours before that, he was at the B&B I was at. I shot a video. Like, every year I shoot a video on my birthday, at least two or three videos on my birthday. So yeah, then you know, when he left the B&B, you was like, you know what I'm saying, I talked to you later, da 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 da. Then that happened, I'm like, damn. Honestly, I didn't even really believe it. The first time I heard it, my homeboy told me, he called me, whatever. Well, first I woke up, I really woke up with like 100 missed calls. Like, not even capping, like. And I'm looking at him like, all right, something happened. But I'm not thinking that, because I'm just, when I'm waking up, you know how you just wake up and you're not really, like, your brain not really.
You getting it together.
Yeah, you feel me? So I'm looking, I put the phone right down. And he called me, like, bro, da 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 da. You know, broke on. I'm like, what? You feel me? Hung up the phone. Took a shower, did what I did. And I thought about it. You know, in the shower, you kind of think the most in the shower. So I thought about it. I'm like, well, let me see you and see what's going on. And I seen it. I'm like, damn. So yeah, I mean, the shit was tragic. Shit really crazy itself. I still don't believe. I still feel like he around somewhere, like spiritual wise. So. I still ain't really, like, grieved all the way yet. Honestly, I don't think I can grieve, to be honest. It's just, like, because I know he's still around somewhere. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Or at least watching himself.
Me, but, I believe that as well. I believe in afterlife. And I believe that the spirit still lives on even after you live. I feel like this is just a test, if you will. Like, you're just going through this life, going through tests and trials and tribulations. And I feel like this is just a vessel. Your spirit's going to live on forever.
You feel me? And the fact how you said, like, kind of when that happened, it's like everybody, I ain't gonna say everybody looked at me, I ain't gonna say it like that, but it's kind of like on the music tip, it's like, all right, like, now what y'all gonna do, like, you feel me? And it's kind of like, I feel like I gotta step up for that, you know, in the sense of that, even though we all had the same mission to accomplish, you know, me, him, Fendi, you know, the set, success, and all them, so I just feel like, shit, it was time, really.
Yeah.
It's time.
So. Yeah. I looked at it in two senses where I was like, the main thing was like, dang, how is he taking this? Because I know, like I said, homie meant a lot to you. And so, like, I prayed for just, I prayed for peace. I pray for, like, love and understanding in situations like that, because your mental can go 1,000 different places and you just be like, I didn't want you to take it in the negative sense of just like, you know, your mind can just go so dark and be like, man, forget this. And you took it the other route, which I'm proud of you to do, to be like, all right, well, I got to step it up then. My homie gone. He would want me to keep. Like, what would John want? And you moved in that sense. Like, bro gonna want me to keep going even harder.
Facts. So, I mean, that's honestly the only way. Well, that's how I think about everything, really. Like, it don't matter how bad a situation is or what type of position I'm in, like, in life itself. I'm going to always think about it. Don't worry. But I give myself, like, probably, like, 2 to 3 days. I'll be like, all right. Figure out in 2-3 days, and then after the 2-3 days up, then it's go time.
Yeah.
You feel me? Or I try to write down what I need to do. You know what I'm saying? On, like, on some monthly shit. Like, all right, this month I'm going to do this. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I kind of went about it. And then, like, knowing, bro, if you know, if you knew John, like, the flex, like, on some, like, jury type shit. You feel me? I used to do that shit, too. Like, you know, back then when I, like, younger, when you first get a chain and shit like that. But then, like, as I got older, you know, I was the type to, like, you know, I have on, like, a black or white tee, but I tucked the chain and still had the chain showing on your neck.
Yeah,
you
I
know
used
what
to saying? Do that.
Like, it's still there. I could pull them out, but, you know what I'm saying? We just going to play the back role.
You see what's going on back there.
Exactly.
Then.
You feel me? But that's how I am, like, as far as a person, though. Like, I let whoever, you know, it could be flashy, but, you know, I take this jury out, it's different, you know what I'm saying? So that's kind of how I move on a lot of shit, really.
Yeah.
Like, just like that. So I just feel like shit is go time, really.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's like, it really ain't no more fun because niggas done did everything itself. So it's kind of like,
yeah,
after that, I was like, yeah, that's it for me. Like, now this is really all I got type shit.
Yeah. I can relate, man, because that same year I lost my boy, who was my best friend, and his name so happened to be, well, Jonathan.
Yeah.
But we called him Jono, and he died in a car accident. And that was actually a dude that I was planning to do this podcast with originally. And so he was a dude that always pushed me, like, dealing with, like, he was funny, he was comedic, like, he wanted me to do, like, stand up, he wanted me to do a podcast. And we were, like, always planning it, but then, like, he passed away unexpected. Like, I remember when he passed away, like, I was working out there in Concord, like doing what was I doing? I was doing something. I forgot, but I left. Like I left. I was just like, nigga, like it's a wrap. Like my mental is all messed. I was working at like Gordon Foods. It's kind of like some like FedEx for food type shit.
Right.
But I was like, man, like I told the one nigga that I talked to at work, I was like, bro, like it was nice knowing you, bro, because I'm like, I ain't coming back here. Like we ain't cool enough to like me get your number. No, I was so rotten after that, but like. Going to what you said, like you could either cave in and get dark with it, and you could either build up and be like, what would he want me to do? And I went through a season, like I remember I was watching a chick that beautiful chick that got into a car accident and burnt her whole body up. She burnt her whole body up to where it was just like it was brutal. And she was like, she had good spirit, and you know, like she had God resting on her, like she was such at peace with it. Mm. They were like, how do you take all this? And she was like, I take the time to weep. She was like, every day I take 5 minutes out of the day and I cry. Like I weep about that, but then I sit it aside for that. Yeah. Like I don't weep throughout my whole life. Like it's okay to go through that. And I feel like, especially with being men, we just run. We just run with it. Like when Kanye lost his mom, he was just torn to where finally when that nigga was in Paris and was playing this song, it got to a peak to where he just broke down on the stage because he was moving so hard. Men don't know how to take that time to really just sit it aside and really soak. Like a nigga need to soak sometimes. And sometimes we take soaking as like, because we're so like in our DNA to be a warrior, sometimes our soaking is smacking niggas, you know, or sometimes soaking is doing drugs or overdosing. Or like for me, it was like drinking myself almost to an early grave. And so I had to get in a mind state of like, well, I'm being selfish because I know if this nigga was here, he would not want me to be doing this. And basically, so that's really where I created As of Late. Like I created As of Late by myself. And started with just awesome, like talking about depression stuff, and then it just continued to grow. And then, so I felt you when that same year when that happened, I was like, yo, man, I feel homie, because like I was seeing that's originally how I seen you was like in a video with him.
Yeah,
and so I was like, yo, I know, like let me reach out to homie because he got to keep going. Yeah. Like what you got going on, like you got to keep going for him.
Yeah, that's pretty much what. Like a lot of people was hitting me in the DMs. I ain't gonna hold you. I don't even know if I think I did respond back to you. I think I said appreciate it and shit.
Yeah, you responded short and sweet.
Like a lot of people, I did not respond. It was so much like so much shit, and I'm just like, you know what? I think I had turned my phone off too that day. But I mean, you know, unfortunately, you know that shit happened. So you know, bro, around is somewhere. You know, so either way it goes, everything gonna pull through how it's supposed to. It's just. She got to let time tell itself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let that shit put it together itself.
Yeah, man. And you've been, you know, I just want to take this time to commend you for moving like how you moved. And, like, you know, and setting yourself up in a position to where, like, all right, let's build this up. Like, you didn't, like, of course, you took the time to grieve. But at the same time, you were, like, for me, you hit the ground going. Like, you pushed your stuff even more to where it was like, yo, let's really do it.
Yeah.
And so, like, I give you your flowers for that because, like, a lot of people, appreciate like, that. Some people don't recover from that stuff.
Yeah.
Especially, like, if that was, like, their main person like that. Yeah. Some people, or it takes years. Yeah. You know, it takes years. Like, it took me about, like, 6 months, like, before I even, like, considered, like, trying to do a podcast. Because I went through, like, me and my main homies that was with Jono, like, we went through like 6 months of just nothing, but we weren't doing nothing but drinking. Like that's all we were doing was just drinking. And so like it took a minute for me to get out of that hole and crawl myself out of it. I honestly don't know how I did it. I think I just met my body, my spirit, God, because nobody around me, like God bless my homies, like I still talk to them. Some, I had to cut some of them off because they still was in that mind state. And I can't be like no zombie out here. And so it was like, I think it was just a combination of my body and probably Jono was just like, yo, I'm sick of you doing this. And just like something just clicked and was like, all right, let me quit doing this. And so, like I said, I commend you on getting your flowers for doing that because a lot of people don't. They want to stay in that wallow. And that's not how whoever that person passed away in your family, whatever people are going through is listening to this. That's not how that person would want you to do. And so, like, you moved and put your foot on these niggas' necks, man.
Yeah, appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that.
For sure. Let's talk about... I want to say, like, what was it, 30, 31 SOS?
Yeah, 31 SOS.
That's the most recent project that came out towards the end of last year.
October 31st, I dropped it. Mm-hmm. So basically, like, you know, 31 is kind of like a biblical meaning. You know, usually it's 31 days in a month. Some months don't got it, but, you know, originally it was at one point.
Yeah.
And on a biblical term of it, it's kind of like, you know, each month was like to set a new goal for that month. So that's kind of what 31 Sos came from, what 31 came from. Sos, you know, it stands for like different. Soso itself stands for like different. I got like different, you know, meanings for but as far as 31 Sos, it means stay on subject.
Okay. You know, so I like that.
That's what that's for. Soso itself stands for stay original and stay open-minded. You know, that's what Soso stands for. And then I really got that name from, you know, some of the homies from, like, you know, back then. But it stuck when I went to A&T. Keep it a band. John, really, he the one. It was Soso. Like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody said, like, what's good, Soso? You know what I'm saying? So I stuck with it. And then, you know, back then I had changed my name. You know, it was Eli Kumar at first.
Mm.
So that's when
did I you was, get that from Harold and Kumar?
Nah. A lot of people say that. See, Kumar, like, the meaning of that, it's like a prince, like an African prince.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, but the style of rap I was, you know, when I was telling you about before, it didn't fit what I was trying to transition to. So I just changed it to Soso. That's how that came about. As far as the name. But the tape, it took me probably like two, three months to make. Because I've been had some of the songs already.
Okay.
I just had to go back and revise them. That's pretty much it.
What's the process when you planning this tape ahead of time? Or is this just from like purely going to the studio some nights, you get a song here, you get a song there, and then before you know it, you got three, and you're like, I think I'm going to make a tape out of this. Like,
I mean, for me, like, every time I go to the studio, or unless it's some real quick shit, I always get, like, 4 hours in the studio. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Unless I'm doing, like, a feature also. But if I'm doing 4 hours in the studio, I'm going to already have everything ready.
Okay. You feel me? So you're already going in that mind state.
Yeah, and cue the band, like, anybody will tell you that too. I recorded with Wes, Wes X Productions, Gabe 3. It's another studio I just went to, Outside Boulevard. I forgot the name of it. But I kind of have everything together. The most songs I done did, like every time, I probably do like 7 to 8 songs in like 4 hours.
Okay.
Because I will already have it like put together, and depend on, like, it honestly don't matter if I'm like, if I'm singing on it or if I'm like harmonizing or anything like that, I'm gonna still have it together in the notes to where like it's like real structured and like detailed. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I go about going to the studio, because you know what I'm saying, you're paying for time.
Yeah.
So it's like,
so you ain't wasting none.
I'm not finna bullshit at all. So and people can vouch too though. So that's pretty much how I operate when I record.
I feel you. That makes sense. My nephew is like that, because he's a youngin' now getting into the dealing with music, and he's always been dealing with music even when he was like 16. But now that he's 18 and like nigga driving now and getting his own money, like he has that mind frame of like, I got all my stuff prepared. So when he goes into the studio, he like, yeah, like, I don't know, like he ain't wasting no time, because time is money. He like, nigga, I'm only here for 2 hours, so let me get as much as I can in now. And so
and I carry a hard drive everywhere I go too. So like, you know how some people, some engineers, I'm gonna say that, just not like in Charlotte, but you know, throughout the industry or whatever, you would tell them like to send me the song so you can get it mixed by somebody else. They won't send a song and shit like that. So before I even leave the studio, I make sure the whole sessions or how many songs we did is on that hard drive. And I make them delete it from their shit so they won't try to, you know, do some shit with it.
Niggas being spicy that?
Nah, not with me, but as far as me learning, like, the industry, I done seen it happen by looking at, you know, TV or interviews and stuff
So
I'm not trying to have that happen to me at all. So I'm just trying to be on, like, you know, 10 steps ahead type
shit. Yeah. Makes sense. I didn't know niggas was doing that in the industry, period.
Niggas do that. Yeah, hold your song. If you don't got no hard drive, they got this thing called SendSpace where you can send, like, a whole file to an email. But I feel like you should just bring your hard drive. You feel me? Like, Or like how some people were like, you go to some engineers, they'd be like, oh yeah, you can just email me the beats. Mm-hmm. You feel me? And then either way it go, you could delete the email on your end, but he might fuck around and get that beat to somebody else.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. So, you yeah, end up on my hard drive. So
you end up being like that Stump song. Yeah. I don't know if you remember back in the day, Stump with it had
to my Ludacris.
Yeah.
He stands on it too.
Yeah, you end up being like T.I. He thinking he done it, and he give it to Ludacris. Right. He did that man dirty, boy. Exactly. That's messed up.
So, yeah,
that makes perfect sense, man. You moving 10 steps ahead of the game. That's how you should do it, man. Yeah. That's what's up. Let's talk about before we close out, I want to talk about another sense that you're in, because we know the music sense that you're in. Let's talk about the fashion sense that we were talking about before we got on air, and how you're putting together Guilty. Talk a little bit about Guilty.
So basically, like, the name itself, it stands for like go up in levels to you in. You know, that's what Guilty, you know, that's what it means. It can mean anything else, because, you know, I only say you win because it's like, I try to go up as possible, even when I'm down, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, even when it may not look like, all right, he ain't really doing nothing. He really be chilling all the time. I'm still having motion, you know what I'm saying? But when I do pop out, it's going to be like, nah, damn, this whole time, he putting all this together. So that's kind of what the vibe that I got from Guilty, well, putting that meaning together for, but it stands for go up in levels to you win.
What's your zodiac sign?
Sagittarius.
Oh, okay. Yeah. A little calculated.
Yeah, Sagittarius. Yeah, definitely sad.
But that makes sense.
Yeah, but the design frame of it, it's like, I had it on t-shirts and hoodies and stuff like that, but like I said before, I wanted to try something different, so I'm like, I'm going to throw it on the back of some jeans. I'm going to try it out. And I did like 2 or 3 samples. And I wore them out. I forgot where I wore it out to. But like, everybody was like, damn, where you get these jeans from? Da, 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 da. I ain't say it was mine, though. You feel me? I just said, oh, shit. I bought these from Social Status.
Just testing the water.
I like, damn, sure, Cap. I said, I bought these from Social Status. I'm like, damn, this shit's hard. Like, everybody was on them. So I'm like, all right, bet. So now I kind of know. Ain't nobody on no gene wave now. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I'm trying to go about it. On some like 05, 06, like, you know, BBC type shit. So that's really how I got that motivation to build that brand. Based off looking at, you know, Pharrell and Nego and stuff like that. So
Dope, man. That's what's up. That sounds like a daggone venture. I can definitely see you stepping on as well and putting your imprint on that as well, because it's definitely an avenue where, especially somebody in the hip hop community, like, you see the motivation, you see the Pharrells, and I feel like that's what a lot of people need to see, is you know, seeing somebody that's done it previously and adding your own twist to it. It was like, I know it's possible, let me just put in the work and get the right people. And so that's dope. I wish you the best on that as well. I can't wait for you sending me tickets to Moonline and all that, bro. Daggone busting these niggas' heads open in LA Fashion Week. No, just gotta stay consistent with it. That's a whole nother bag. That's a whole nother avenue right there that I can see a part of, you know.
Yeah, as far as ideas, like, I be like listening to people when they be saying like, oh, I don't want to steal this idea. I'm not saying like I'm stealing the idea, but it's kinda like, as far as how it was put out, that makes sense. Like the structure, how like the blueprint was, that's how I'm going about it.
Yeah.
Not the design or anything itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then either way it go, like, nobody has really came up with their own idea. I feel like every idea is really brought up by other people. You just don't know it. You feel me? Like,
yeah, you get inspiration somewhere.
You feel me? You, basically, like, you might think of something, like, say if you had a idea or something that you wanted to do, but in your mind you think you the only person that got the idea. Plus it's like a billion fucking people in the world type shit, so it's like they probably got the same idea, they probably just ain't even, you know, put it in motion. And that's when that come from, you know, when people be like, man, I been had the idea, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's where
that
come from. You feel me? So I feel like every idea is in people's heads, you know, but it's just like people don't really
tap into it
and execute their plans really. So until you do that, that shit is yours. You feel me?
Yeah, I believe that 100%. I think this earth, I feel like we ain't nothing but like human energy transmitters, bro. We're flowing in and out of energy, right. And like kind of like the radio, like whatever energy, whatever frequency you tap yourself into is mm-hmm. like what'll come. Like I feel like those ideas, I'm a believer of faith, so I feel like God puts these ideas out in the universe, mm-hmm. and I feel like if you tap into the right frequency, you get these ideas. I feel like certain melodies, certain stuff like. These ideas come to different people. It just mm-hmm. depends on the person that taps into it and works into it. And yeah. then that's why I feel like sometimes you'll have a moment where like you'll hear a song in your head before you hear it in the radio yeah. because the frequency of it is already in the airwaves. And I think it's the same way. It's the same with ideas where like you'll see somebody be like, "Dang, I was just thinking about that." Yeah. Like my boy, I remember back in the day, was having this nigga was doing like tablets. Like these big old tablets like that before Apple had them out. He was doing them himself like with some magnetic stuff. And I was like, dang, man, that junk dope. And then like, bro, like within a year, we saw Apple had a junk out. Yeah. But I told him, I was like, bro, like you just got that wave of that energy that idea was already out. Right. Like how many years was Apple working on that before they actually put that shit out? Like
my point, it's really just executing the plans, you know, and see who can really start it first. Mm-hmm. You feel me? That's really, really what it is. Because eventually, if you do start it, it's going to get stowed. Or if it's either like a brand, a clothing brand, or just anything, it's going to be like a replica of it.
Yeah.
Regardless, you feel me? So yeah, that's how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's a bigger brand. Yeah. They just going to take it and replicate and not give you no credit. Some of you be blessed if you like, I seen a dude talking on No Jumper, like, Barciaga, whatever how you say their name, they copied Balenciaga. Yeah. They copied a daggone image of his shirts that he been making like a creative LA guy.
Yeah.
And didn't give him no credit for it. But he was like, at the same time, it motivated him because you know he moving in the right direction. If I'm getting their attention to steal my shit, then I gotta be doing something right.
But the thing is with that though, because you say on the podcast he didn't get paid for it.
He didn't get no paper for it.
Yeah, so it's kind of like on some just in case shit. I ain't saying what he should have done, but what I would have done, I would have, if I was putting artwork out, like basically, for example, say if somebody steal my, like my social logo, mm-hmm. people don't know that's copyrighted. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I got that image trademarked and everything. So even if you, say if you just take the eagle off and you just change the color or do something with it, if it looks similar to mine, yeah, it's just going down. I'm suing you, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like he said that though. He said, "Dude's legit." Like he said he could have took it there because that was their next question. Yeah. Like AD and House Phone was like, "Why you ain't sue him? Like if they ain't working with you, why you ain't sue him?" And he was like, "I just didn't want to go through it. He just didn't want to go through the asshole."
I feel like, it, but shit, they went through it about taking it. So you feel me? So why not go through it? Like, getting your money's worth.
Yeah. Might as well aggravate him, right? I guess he felt like it was a bigger, and that's the case with a lot of people. They think because of these bigger corporations, they got these bigger lawyers that's just going to open and shut case them. But right. I still would aggravate him with it to where you need to at least know that my presence is felt. So for the next company to be like, all right, well, who is this guy? They may see your case going on with me, and then, you know, he may get daggone Louis Vuitton looking at the case and be like, well, dang, let's work with this dude, legitly. Right. Because, like, we seen what the other company did to him and BS'd him.
Yeah.
So that may have gave him even more attention in the right direction.
Yeah, that's how it be, though.
Mm-hmm.
Just try to stay, you know, 10 steps ahead. Try to get that business part out first before you put anything out. That's how I feel about anything, so.
Word. Let's close out with what are some things you got moving into the rest of 2022? Like what is the plan? I know you got the tour coming up.
Yeah, so I got the Human tour with Big Baby Gucci, Phrase, Better Temperatures. That's Big Baby Gucci's label. So yeah, it's like a 25-day tour. I'm gonna be on some of the dates. But yeah, that's probably the thing that I got going right now, and just working on content, you know, for the tape 31 Souls, just putting out videos for it, and I'm gonna try to push, you know, not try to, but I'm gonna push one of the songs, Bobby Brown. I don't know if you heard it.
Okay.
But yeah, that's gonna be one of those songs that I feel like it's probably gonna pop before the summertime hit. Mm. You know, just put that promotion behind it.
Mm-hmm. Put the full coat press on them.
Yeah, you feel me? I'm gonna drop like, you know, I'm gonna drop like stuff in between, like stuff that's not on the tape. But as far as like the main priority is to push that tape. Because if you listen, and I ain't just saying that because it's like, you know, it's my tape. But if you actually start it from start to finish, it really flows through nice. Like it ain't like no skips type shit.
Oh no, you feel me? It's 8 solid tracks of. Run through it. Like exactly. You can run through it easily.
Exactly. And I done heard that from people who like, who don't really be like into that music shit, like, you feel me? Or just like upcoming artists, they don't really be on that type of shit. They just, whoever they hear about, they'll play it. But as me telling them, oh yeah, check this out, they don't even be on that. But when I told them that and they listen to it, it's kinda like, nah, this shit hard.
Yeah.
You feel me? So that's pretty much it. But yeah, more collabs, more merch. What else? And shit, that's really it. Just more content, really.
Dope, man. Content. Continuing to keep your foot on these people's neck, yeah, man, for 2022, bro. I'm proud of you, man. Like I said, I love the movement. I love what you're doing. Continue to do what you do, man. Go ahead and give people like your socials, like your Instagram, all that stuff.
All right, so Instagram, you know, it's SoSo Guilty, SoSoGuilty. On Twitter, it's the same thing, but with the number one in the beginning. On YouTube, you know, Spotify, all streaming platforms, it's SoSo GB, you know, so.
Dope, yeah, dope, man. Thanks for coming, brother.
Appreciate you, bro.
This is As of Late.
All right.
Thanks for listening to As of Late Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Spotify. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. You can listen to As of Late Podcast on both of those. You can also listen to As of Late Podcast on Anchor.fm. and Google Podcasts.